Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text Number 23. Is that?
Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha ikshvakuvamsha avatirya gurur nideshe. Tishtan vanam sadaita nuja avishesha yasmin virudhya dashakandara arti marchat.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Due to His causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with His plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of His internal potency, Sita. Under the order of His father, Maharaj Dasharath, He entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with His wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. Purport. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His brothers, namely Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughna, are His plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramchandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture in the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that His brothers were His plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramchandra is the incarnation of Vasudeva, Lakshman is the incarnation of Sankarshan, Bharata is the incarnation of Pradyumna, and Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha, expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji Sita is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramchandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by His brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji, Sita Devi. We'll continue to read the purport tomorrow, since I have been told to give class for the next 3-4 days. So this verse will also take up tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pavchata Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatkripatamaham vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. I want to thank the devotees here for giving me an opportunity to discuss Ramayana. I was told to speak on Lord Ram's pastimes. In defense of Lord Ram, this was the topic. Recently in Chaupati, during the Ram Navami festival, I gave a festival class and on Lord Ram's pastimes. And during the end, I addressed this topic of Lord Ram's character, because I just spoke the pastimes for almost 3 hours. But wherever I've spoken on Lord Ramayana, I've faced one question always, especially in the recent times. One question that I'm always challenged with, and I think many speakers, even Gaur Gopal Prabhu last year, he spoke on Ramayana in the British Parliament. And there also he was asked the same question. Why did Lord Ram banish Mother Sita? This seems to be the common question in recent times. And there is a reason for this, why this question is coming up so much. And that is because of the way modern Indologists and historians are presenting Lord Ram and Sita, and the whole Ramayana has been misrepresented by the historians. Therefore, we will try to present the Ramayana in a more authentic way according to the parampara. So I decided, as they say, take the bull by the horns, directly enter this topic. And let us build a case for Lord Sri Ram. And let us discuss this topic from various angles, so that as devotees, I see all devotees are sitting here. You know, when you go out and when you speak on Krishna, Lord Ram, especially on Lord Ram, this question comes up. So how could you defend Ramayana? So maybe we can, I hope the next 3-4 classes will help. So I would like to begin with the real story that happened. Twice this happened. I want to share this story. And I'm sure this story will, this story has a very special effect. On some devotees, it makes no difference to some. But I've heard some devotees tell me that this story has shaken me completely. So just see how this story has an effect on you. This is a true story. This happened in January 1985. There was a man called Sam Maxwell. And he was an American from New York. And he decided to come to India because he heard that India, Vedic culture, there is a lot of importance given to family values and culture and traditions. So he thought, let me figure out what is this. So he came. And he traveled. And he came to Delhi, and then he was traveling in the Uttar Pradesh, northern region. And accidentally, he didn't know how, but he landed up at Chitrakoot. You know what is Chitrakoot? Where is Chitrakoot? Is a place where Lord Ram stayed with Mother Sita and Lakshman for a long time. Brother Lakshman and Mother Sita he stayed with. And he performed many sweet pastimes there. And Chitrakoot is a very beautiful place. Everyone there is a devotee of Lord Ram. So Sam Maxwell landed up in Chitrakoot, and he was astonished to see nice, beautiful chants of Ramayana, the mantras, and everybody is worshipping Hanuman. That culture mesmerized him completely because he had never experienced something like this. And then he went little north on the western side of Chitrakoot, and he landed up at a place called Manikpur, which has a small population of 15,000 people. It's a small village. So at Manikpur also he saw people chanting Ramayana. And it was a strange sight. He felt a strange kind of sensation go through his spines. Because he saw one old man, and Sam felt like an iron piece that is drawn towards a magnet. He approached this elderly man who was reading from an ancient looking book. He was just looking at the book and reading. And he was uttering some chants from Ramayana. That was Ramayana he was reading, and those chants are very exotic. And it was in a rhythmic meter. If you see the way Tulsi Ramayana is chanted in North, it's chanted in a particular meter which is very attractive. And it was pleasing to the ears. Sam had never heard something like this before in his life. And as he went to this old man, he saw that next to him, this was a grocery store, a shop. And next to him was a middle-aged man sitting at the counter of the shop. And a young boy of 4-year-old was playing at the courtyard. So Sam got attracted to this old man and he went and asked him, "Excuse me, sir, what are you doing?" This old man, you know, his reflexes were slow. He looked at Sam, lowered his chin, adjusted his glasses. And, you know, the North Indian winter is very harsh. It seemed to make no difference to him. And he said to Sam, "I am reading Ramayana." And he had his toothless smile, you know, it enchanted more. Sam was more enchanted. And then he asked him, "Who is this man at the counter?" So the old man said, "That's my son. He now manages the shop and I chant the whole day. Because you see, I am retired now." "Really?" So then Sam asked, "What is that? Who is that child there playing?" See, Sam was very curious. So the old man said, "That is my grandson." And then Sam asked the old man, "What is Ramayana?" And the man replied in his broken English. He chanted a few verses in a melody which Sam was now very fond of. You know, I can't chant those melodies. They are very attractive. Sita Ram Charit Ati Pavan. It's a very nice meter. And Madhur Saras Aur Ati Man Bhavan. Puni Puni Kidariye Shuniye Shunaye. Hiya Ki Pyas Bujat Na Bujaye. So the whole Ramayana, Tulsidas has composed in that rhythmic meter, where he says that Sita Ram Charit Ati Pavan. The characteristics of Lord Ram and Sita is so attractive that it can enchant your heart. Madhur Saras or Ati Manubhavan. It is not only sweet nectar, it can remain in your mind for days and days. It will just remain and you will be floating in ecstasy. And then the next line says, Puni Puni Kidariye Shuniye Shunaye. The advantage of again and again reading Ramayana and hearing Ramayana is, Hiya Ki Pyas Bujat Na Bujaye. Your heart will be fully satisfied, but you won't be satisfied. You will want more and more and more. This is the power of Ramayana. So this is what Sam heard. And what happened was, on this particular evening, Sam was just basking in the presence of these mysterious chants, and this, you know, the rustic village setting soothed his heart. He was very happy and he thought it was far out. Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Radha Gokula Anand ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai. And Sam felt that he had never felt something like this in his Manhattan, where he was staying, which is the busiest borough of New York. So he thought, this is amazing. India trip has borne fruit today. And I always wanted to know what happens in the Indian villages, the culture and traditions that keeps family abound together. Now I have a first-hand experience of this. This is amazing. He was very happy. But the story doesn't end here. This is the main part of the story. He thought he was very happy. He went back to New York. He was a young 25-year-old man. He carried on with his life as usual. Decades passed. 3 decades passed. Finally, in 2015, he got a chance to come to India again. Because now, as a 55-year-old man in New York, he thought, let me revisit India. Because I had some amazing experiences when I had gone there. So again, he came to India. And then, as he was roaming around in India, he recalled his memorable moment 30 years ago. That remote village in Uttar Pradesh, he said, let me go there. And he came and he landed up at Manikpur. And he said, let me go to that lane where I had seen an old man chant. And believe it or not, when Sam reached that lane, he rubbed his eyes in disbelief. He was shocked. What is this? Have I traveled back in time? He panicked for a moment because he saw the same old man whom he had seen 30 years ago read from the Ramayana. While that middle-aged man was sitting at the counter and that 4-year-old child was playing, he said, what? What is this? He thought, what year is it? Various emotions swelled in his heart. It was nostalgic for him. So he came near to this old man and he said, excuse me, sir, what are you reading? Now he replayed the same conversation which he had done 30 years ago. And the old man, who didn't seem to have aged at all in these 30 years, he lowered his glasses, smiled at Sam, and replied in his broken English as he had done 30 years ago. He said, I am reading from Ramayana. You know, you see, I am retired now. And my son manages the shop. And that's my grandson playing. He is lovely, isn't he? So Sam felt a chill, and he realized that these are goosebumps. I was wondering what is happening. He said, excuse me, how old are you anyways? Who are you? And the man spoke slowly. And now Sam realized that this village has also faced the onslaught of time. It's not that this village had transcended time. And he realized that the old man that Sam had met 30 years ago was now dead and gone. And this old man was the man who had taken care of the shop then. And the man at the counter now was none other than the child who was playing freely at the veranda then. That child 30 years ago was now a grown-up man who was handling the shop's customers. Sam realized, lot of things have changed here. But on a deeper level he realized, he felt that nothing had changed. And he realized that his India trip, which began 30 years ago, was now complete. Because he saw an eternal basis of Vedic culture. There is something eternal in a Vedic tradition. Something that had missed his vision when he came first time. He could see a very scary contrast, because in modern times, this is what Sam realized, that everything is changing at a frenzied pace. Somebody was telling me that earlier generation gap was 20 years. Now in 3-4 years, the generation gap happens, thanks to the way we are advancing, so-called advancing. And Sam realized that the steady culture of hearing, chanting, absorption in Ramayana, this has remained in the Indian villages, while the passion of change, when you keep changing, there's a lot of passion involved, and it gives us a titillating pleasure to the senses. We feel little happy. Actually, it's not happiness, it's some pleasure that we experience. And if you carefully analyze, on the surface, reading the same scriptures, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, reading Bhagavatam every day, it seems sometimes externally to our material mind, it seems boring. But if you absorb yourself, you realize that peace and stability comes from consistently performing the same activities, spiritual activities, day in, day out. That is spiritual life. And that's when a sudden realization dawned on this old man, this Sam. He realized that when we are connected to something eternal, when we are connected to a space or a realm of transcendence, then we get so much clarity of thought. We get clear understanding of what is life, what I'm supposed to do. There is a place beyond this material world. There is a realm of existence where nothing changes. The more the world outside of us is changing, the more we have to embrace things that don't change. Therefore, we need to chant, we need to hear. And if you see the world, in this world, people are chasing after something. Constantly, externally, we are chasing. And the result of this is an undefined sadness. There is some melancholy that is gripping everyone. But those who anchor themselves on spiritual narrations, those who are grounded, believe it or not, they actually transcend the influence of time. They actually feel connected to the Lord. Therefore, let us absorb ourselves in Ramayana. Although it may, and I know many of you may already know the pastime, but if you will see that devotees who keep chanting and hearing the same pastimes again and again, they experience, that just like this old man was saying, just like Sam experienced, we'll experience a certain sense of contentment and peace in our hearts. Because this is a reality. So, Ramayana, this is the potency of Ramayana. And I don't know in West, I don't know in England, but in India, whenever I speak on Ramayana in any place, and I ask, how many of you know the essence of the Ramayana, the story of the Ramayana? Almost everybody raises their hand. In India, at least, nobody is hearing Ramayana for the first time. That is the beauty of Ramayana. Nobody hears it for the first time. In the sense, everybody has known it somewhere, sometime in childhood, they know about Ramayana. And also, therefore, we'll read on Ramayana. And these verses, which I'm going to chant now, they may appear, we may not know the deep meanings of it, but they are very satisfying to the heart if we connect those sound vibration. Because Ramayana is considered to be like a sugar candy. Just like a sugar candy is sweet, all sides, Similarly, Ramayana, any pastime we read, it just fills the heart with so much peace, happiness. Ramayana begins with glorification of Valmiki, and it is explained very beautifully.
Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madhuraksharam Aruya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam.
Kujantam. Valmiki is defined as a person who is like a cuckoo bird. Cuckoo bird sings very sweetly.
Kujantam Rama Rameti.
This cuckoo bird is singing Ram, 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 Maduram, Madhuraksharam. And this Ram chanting of the cuckoo bird called Valmiki is very sweet to the ears.
Aruya Kavita Shakham.
This bird is placed on the branch called poetry.
Vande Valmiki Kokilam.
And this cuckoo bird is known as Valmiki. Now, interesting paradox. After glorifying Valmiki as a cuckoo bird, the next verse presents Valmiki as something totally different.
Valmikir Munir Sinhasya Kavita Vanacharita Shrinvan Rama Kadanadam Konayati Paramgatim.
Valmikir Munir Sinhasya. Valmiki is like a lion.
Kavita Vanacharita.
And Kavita, poetry, is like a forest.
Shrinvan Rama Kadanadam.
And this lion is roaring, Ram. What happens when the lion roars? All the small animals, jackals, deers, they all run away in fear.
Konayati Paramgatim.
So when this lion called Valmiki roars the name of Ram, all the anarthas in our heart, which are like insignificant animals, they just run away in fear. Now this is an amazing contrast and paradox. On the one hand, Valmiki is called as a cuckoo bird and immediately is addressed as a lion. It's a contrast. You know, cuckoo and lion, they don't have any similarities. Even if the cuckoo practices for years, she cannot roar like a lion. And a lion cannot sing sweetly like the cuckoo. So how do you understand this? And this is where we get Acharya's purports. They explain that Ramayana, Valmiki's words, the literal sound of Ramayana is sweet like a cuckoo bird singing. The verses are very sweet, they are very enchanting. But the deep meaning of the verses of Ramayana, they are very deep, they are like the roaring of a lion. That's how we understand. So externally the verses are very simple and sweet. We will hear some of the verses in the future also, classes also. But it appears very sweet to the ears. But when we examine it deeply, we realize the meaning is very profound. So therefore, if you want to address the question of why Lord Ram banished Mother Sita to the forest, first we need to understand the culture of Ramayana. We need to understand, actually when we hear the pastimes attentively, we realize that we are satisfied. We know the answers. In the sense, you don't need to know how to, because you know sometimes you may have all the technical answers, but if you're not satisfied and nourished by Ramayana, we can't really present Ramayana. We need to feel loved by Lord Ram. And the beauty of Ramayana is, if you take novels and I don't know, you know, in India also nowadays Bollywood is very popular. Bollywood, politics and cricket is the Indian's obsession. And this entertains people. Novels, movies entertain. But if you see, rarely will any of this impress upon a reader or a viewer to dedicate his or her life to live by some sacred principles. And this is exactly what Ramayana does. Ramayana is not only entertaining, but Ramayana is also enlightening. The values which are enshrined in Ramayana, they have helped millions of people dedicate their life for a very, very spiritual cause. In fact, when I present Ramayana and I see that people are not really interested, or they find, you know, what is in it, you know, people ask this question, what's in it for me? And values, principles appear to be very vague. So then I try to connect people to Ramayana through telling them some general knowledge that is there in Ramayana, which modern scientists have only recently discovered. For then people get excited, oh really, Ramayana has these kind of things. Actually, Ramayana's influence is far-reaching, and it is spread across various continents, and it has immense popularity. So some of the things I tell people when I have done a lot of Ramkatha in India, and I generally tell them about the general knowledge in Ramayana. I say that how Ramayana tells us something. One thing about Ramayana, one example of, amongst many, is Ramayana talks about the psychology of birds. When the Ramayana begins, Valmiki Rishi is going with his disciples, and he sees two crouncher birds. Crouncher is modern name for the crouncher bird is Sarus crane. He sees a male and a female crouncher bird mating, and they are enjoying. So he looks at his disciples, and he tells them that these birds are enjoying so much. And you know, see the female bird, the female croucher, she never accepts another male partner. Once, if she's separated from her partner or mate, she will never accept another one. And then at that very moment, her hunter shoots an arrow and he kills the male croucher. And the female starts screaming and yelling, and she starts shrieking. And Valmiki, who was still recently a hunter himself, he feels overwhelming compassion for the female, seeing her pain. He utters a curse. It's not that he planned to do it, but it spontaneously comes out. He says, Manishada Pratishthama Agama Shashwati Sama Et Krauncha Mituna Dekha Avadi Kama Mohita. He says, oh you hunter, may you get infamous for eternity. May you suffer forever. Because you have seen two crouncher birds mating and you separated one from the other. You killed the male that was obsessed with kama, that was obsessed with enjoying. Condemned is your life. And the moment Valmiki said it, he realized, what have I done? How could I curse? And that too, I cursed him to suffer. I could have cursed him to die. But now he's going to live. He's going to remain alive and he's going to suffer. How did I do it? Later on, Brahmaji appears there and tells him that it was my plan. Now compose the Ramayana, entire Ramayana in this meter. You know, the whole Ramayana is composed in this beautiful meter. Just like we have in Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame veshaji satyam te pratijane priyosime. If you see the same meter, Anushtup Chanda, in the same rhythmic meter, the Ramayana is composed. But what is interesting here is, the acharyas reveal that Ramayana is, as I said a few minutes ago, that Ramayana has two meanings. One is the sweet chants, but beyond the sweet chants are deep meaning. For the acharyas say, in this first verse, Valmiki has actually summarize the entire Ramayana. It is not simply about the birds mating and killing of the birds. Valmiki has gone deeper. How? Ma nishada pratishthama. Ma means mother. Nishad means the place of sitting. For the place where mother Lakshmi sits, that is at the lotus feet of Lord. So in Ma nishad is another name for Shri Nivas. Nishad means Nivas. Ma means Shri. So, Manishad refers to Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram, Lord Krishna. Manishada Pratishthama. Oh, dear Lord Ram, may your fame be there eternally. Agama Shashwati Sama. For eternity may you be famous. Because what did you do? Et krauncha mituna dekha. You saw two crouncha's coming together. Now, crouncha here doesn't refer simply to the Sarus crane. Krauncha comes from Kruncha. There was a rishi called Kruncha whose granddaughter was Mandodari. So Mandodari becomes Krauncha. And yet Krauncha Mituna, there are two Krauncha's, means Mandodari and Ravan. And you separated, my dear Lord, you separated one of them from the other. Avadi Kama Mohita, the one was afflicted by lust, that is Ravan, you destroyed him. So this is the essence of Ramayana pastime. So in the first verse, the entire Ramayana is summarized by Valmiki. And most amazing thing is, what Valmiki told his students about how the female Krauncha is fiercely loyal to her mate and she never accepts another partner again, this has been confirmed by zoologists. Zoologists are those who study animals and birds, and within zoology there is a branch called ornithology, which is the modern ornithologists who study especially the birds. They have discovered exactly this behavior by the female sarus. Now, it's interesting that what is casually mentioned by Valmiki, Valmiki Muni has casually mentioned this to his students. But the scientists are observing the nature, millennia later, they are confirming this. So my question to people, the audience is, what does this prove? When there were no scientific methods of observation and study like we have now, how could Valmiki know this? This is just one of the casual things. If you see, Ramayana is filled with such kind of statements. When Bharat and Shatrughna come from their maternal grandparents' house and they come to Ayodhya, Ram is already banished. And you know this pastime? Bharat is very upset with his mother for her evil plot of banishing Lord Ram. And is upset that Ram is the oldest of the four brothers and he deserves to be the king. But his mother, Kaikeyi, has sent Ram to the forest. And Bharat considered himself as a servant of Ram. And he wished to bring back Ram so that he can occupy the throne. So now while castigating his mother for the terrible decision that she has taken, he reminds her about the nature of peacocks at her kingdom. Kaikeyi is coming from a place which is modern day Russia, Ukraine. That is a place where Kaikeyi comes from. And now he is telling Kaikeyi that, my dear mother, how can you banish Ram? Because in your own kingdom, in your own country, even the peacocks, the oldest peacock is chosen to be the leader in the peacock community. And the oldest peacock or the leader of the community amongst the peacocks is identified with the crest on his head. He has a special crest. So Bharat is reasoning with his mother. This is just in passing he mentions to her that even in her native land, peacocks have a culture and you have now terribly made a wrong judgment by banishing Ram. Now, if you read Russian history and if you can Google it out or you can go to some libraries, you will see Russian traditions and they reveal that they have their clothing and their culture, their dress, their food habits. There is a lot of evidence available up till the 10th, 11th century. And you will see that during that period, that all their clothes have detailed embroidery with peacocks. Peacocks with the beautiful crest on its head is a recurring theme and element in Russian artistic work. Now, Valmiki Muni separated from Russia thousands of miles. How does he know all this? In fact, if you read when Bharat and Shatrughna come back to Ayodhya from Russia, Ukraine. Now, he doesn't call them as Russia and Ukraine. He calls them as Kaikeyi's Desha, Kaikeyi Raj. But how does Valmiki Muni describe? He says, Bharat and Shatrughna returning from a land where dogs and deer, they drive the vehicles. It's a land of snow. And he refers to them coming to Ayodhya wearing woolen clothes. So these lands, which Valmiki Muni describes in great detail, they are modern day Russia. Which, if you see phonetically, they sound similar to Rishi. Rishi and Russia, they are sounding similar. Phonetic is the science of pronunciation of words, the sound. In fact, if you carefully study the whole world, you can logically make many more deductions about how life and cultures during the period of Ramayana was influencing the whole world. And modern people are unaware. Until recent times, we had no idea about this. So therefore, Ramayana basically exposes the fallacy of the modern Indologists who declare that Ramayana is a very new scripture. In fact, when we discuss each minute details of Ramayana, you will be amazed to see its historical validity. And you will see how it has preceded all religions of this world. In fact, there are a lot of self-help techniques. Many self-help motivational speakers can get a lot of tips from Ramayana. In fact, one of my very dear friends, Shubhvilas Prabhu, has written already 3 books on Ramayana and is going to write 3 more. And he's also written a self-help book which has become very popular in India. He's written a book called Open-Eyed Meditations, which is now in the is a brahmachari in our temple. And his book is now appreciated by the karmis, the materialistic people. They consider this book as a masterpiece. And so intelligently he has added all life skills and tips from Ramayana and Mahabharata. So brilliantly has come written that book that now in the Jaipur International Literary Festival, which is one of the biggest literary festivals in literary gathering in India, he was called as the main speaker during the prime time show, the main speaker, and he was asked questions. So he is now acknowledged as a motivational speaker, as an author, and he is taking all his strength from Ramayana and Mahabharata, because from childhood he has been hearing Ramayana from his grandparents. So Ramayana has all this life, you know, there is the way Lakshman consoles Ram. You will read in the Kishkindha Kand when Ram is very depressed, that, you know, he's remembering Sita in the rainy season. Anything he's seeing, he's remembering Sita and he's like very discouraged. The way Lakshman motivates him, and some of the statements he says, one statement Lakshman says is something to the effect that, my dear brother, if you lament, then lamentation takes your eyes off the goal. These are all very, very brilliant sutras, you know. So many times we are in our lives, we are lamenting about something of the past. But when we lament, it immediately takes us off the goal. For like this, you'll find many, many things like this. Or there are also very, very super brilliant analogies in Ramayana. Like Vibhishan. How was Vibhishan living in Lanka? Vibhishan was living with all Rakshasas, right? Ravana and all the other evil people. But Vibhishana himself was a very virtuous man. He was a very pious, he was a devotee of the Lord. So Valmiki Muni explains, how did Vibhishan live in Lanka? He says, Vibhishan lived in Lanka just like the tongue lives between the teeth. What a poetic way of explaining. The tongue is surrounded by the teeth. And the tongue is safe, but one mistake. Have you experienced sometime that the tongue being bitten? When you bite your own tongue, what happens? But all the time the tongue is there. So that's how Vibhishan was living in Lanka. So what a beautiful, what a creative way of presenting a fact. And I had an experience when in Chitrakoot, I had gone to Chitrakoot in 2000, first time, the year 2000. And we had gone, brahmacharis had gone for a small yatra. And I met one old man who was drawing water from a well in some ashram. He was an elderly man. And he was just chanting the glories of Ramayana. He was singing this Ramayana verses in a very poetic meter. And I remember feeling so fascinated by him. And some of the brahmacharis, we started talking to each other. We were talking to each other in English. And we were discussing something. So this man, as he was drawing his well, he looked at us, and in his chaste Hindi, which is the Ramayana's culture there in North, he started chastising us, saying that, you know, why do you talk all mundane things here? You should be discussing Ramayana. So then we apologized. And as we apologized, one of us, he was talking to us in Hindi, and one of the brahmacharis passed a comment on that elderly man to the others. And immediately this elderly man spoke in fluent English. And we were shocked. And he said, you think I don't understand English? And we were shocked. Then we surrendered to him. We said, who are you? Then he revealed, Jai Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai. He revealed his identity. He was a retired IAS officer. IAS officer is like the cream of India. And he had served for almost 35 years, and he was one of the chief main secretaries in the Indian government. It's the civil services of India. A very high post. It is considered as the highest post you can get. So he was from IAS, and now after retirement, he had dedicated his life for just reading Ramayana. And he was, when he was talking to us, he was only crying, remembering the character of Bharat Maharaj. He was saying that, all of you glorify Ram, but Bharat has made a bigger sacrifice. Bharat is the real hero of Ramayana. And he was just so attached to Bharat. When I saw that, I realized that this is real. And you know, unfortunately, what has happened is modern historians, they don't present this real picture of Ramayana. They don't present Ramayana in the proper context. They just pick up incidents and they take it out of context. Like now, tomorrow we'll discuss about Ram's relationship with Sita. You will realize it is completely different than what people have presented. Ramayana presents Ram as completely different than what people are presenting him today. And this is the danger. This is how Krishna consciousness is going to be a challenge to preach. Because there is a determined effort by the atheistic people to discredit God consciousness. I remember as a young boy, I grew up in a village where every day in the evening we would watch Ramayana dramas, Ramayana Mahabharata. So I used to just go with my grandparents, didn't understand much, but it was so fun to watch Ramayana, and then we would take prasad in the local temple. The temple would provide prasad to everyone. And at the age of 10, I came to Mumbai because my father was in government service and I grew up with my grandparents. So they took me to city because they wanted me to get educated and become more smart. So I said, okay. I came to the city and my father was in government service. We were living in a colony where we had a lot of facilities. And I had never seen all these things in a village because I had never even seen television when I grew up till the age of 10. And when I came to the city, first time I saw an elevator in a building. I had never seen a building. So it was a 25-storied building, and then my father said, okay, now you've come to Mumbai, you've come to the city, now let me take, you know, my father wanted to take all of us brothers to our colony club where we used to have parties, get together, there's a swimming pool. So there was a New Year's party, and we were all children sitting in the front watching a drama because the colony boys and girls came together to perform a drama for the entertainment of the colony residents. And the drama was on Ramayana. So I was very excited because I had been seeing Ramayana dramas from childhood, since I remember I was conscious. So I expected something similar. But when I sat in the drama, I was shocked. All the characters were in, you know, trousers, t-shirt, and they were all it was a spoof on Ramayana. And I was confused as a young boy. I could see people were laughing. And it was all funny. It was supposed to be very funny. You know, they were making a caricature of Ramayana. But I remember some of the things very confusing me a lot. I saw Ram is walking with Lakshman and they are flirting with some girls, you know, those kind of things. And then when Sita is kidnapped by Ravan, and I remember that scene where Jatayu is lying, and then Ram is telling Jatayu, have you seen my Sita? And Jatayu is saying, I don't remember anything. And then Lakshman says, brother, I think you need to pay him 500 rupees, he will remember everything. And then Ram is giving him a bribe, and then he says, I can remember a little bit. And then everybody is laughing, and I was confused. And I remember my dad getting upset with the drama, and then he was telling me that this is the way. He said, I didn't know that they are going to do this. But the point I'm saying is, this is very common in India. Very common. There are people who say, Ravan is very good. There was a very famous television serial in India a few years ago called Glories of Ravan. And the whole serial, I think it went on for 8 months, presenting Ravan as a hero. So this is the way our culture has been distorted. Therefore, what has happened as a result of all this is, modern educated Indians and people all over the world, they are confused about the character of Lord Ram. And one of the most common challenges we always hear is, Ram was a selfish person. He was more interested in his own reputation than to protect his chaste wife, Sita. And the proof, what is the proof of this? They claim the proof is, he banished Mother Sita. He abandoned his devoted wife because he heard that a washerman disowned his wife when she stayed with another man one night. For the washerman, he accused Ram, saying that, I am not like that coward, infatuated Ram who would accept a wife even after she stayed with another man. And therefore, what is the argument? The argument is, Ramayana teaches values that are outdated, that are inhuman, that is extremely chauvinistic. So now we have a very important announcement coming up. Tomorrow we'll take up from here. That was Ram selfish, and why did he banish Mother Sita? Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Ramayana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.